Jason Ross, Charles T. Hamilton in today on the Lowdown. Damian Barling is off today. He'll be back with us tomorrow. And we're going to do it right now. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to Downtown Chowdown. So you'll win a pair of tickets right now to Downtown Chowdown. Enjoy over 40 different food trucks and performances by ex-ambassadors Chris Jansen and Sheila E. Make sure you get your tickets right now at KH2K.com. And all KHDK giveaways powered by RosevilleAutomall.com. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. That's how you can win right now your pair of tickets to Downtown Chowdown at 2 o'clock. We'll tell you how you can win our second pair of tickets that we're offering up out there. But tonight, Charles, it's Kings and Jazz from Golden 1 Center. Again, there might be better teams in the league than the Jazz. I just think this is particularly a really difficult matchup for the Kings.
Oh, yeah.
A team that focuses that much defensively.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Especially because the Kings, I think we figure they're going to have a rough time defensively this year, mm-hmm. but at least they should be able to score. But going up against one of the best defenses in the league, that's just a tough matchup, especially opening night.
Yeah, and again, the preseason game doesn't mean that's exactly how it will play out today, but that was a team that was interesting to me. The Jazz were 4-0 going into that preseason game, and apparently Quinn Snyder wasn't thrilled with the way they played the game prior against Portland. Called this team out, and it's like, all right, let's play some defense tonight, and the Kings are the victim of that.
Also, if you look at the Kings, we've talked about all summer, you know, their lack of wings, lack of depth at the three, and the Jazz seem to have a plethora of wings. So it'll be interesting to see, man.
Yeah, Jazz, it's been a couple years in a row here. They made the playoffs 2 years ago. Then they had some retooling, and they draft Donovan Mitchell. Gobert just becomes the Stifle Tower, and this team is really, really good experience. And now they have some expectations. So let's talk about that with the radio voice of the Utah Jazz, and that is David Locke joining us here on KHDK. David, you're on with Jason and Charles. How are you?
Good, guys. Great to chat with you, Jason. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. I think we're all excited. We always are for the start of a season, but what a difference between these two communities. The Jazz have significant hopes and dreams of what they could do this year. And let's start with that. What are the expectations in Utah for this talented Jazz team?
I think they're awfully high. I think there's still a little bit of curiosity of whether or not the second half run is exactly who they are, but it wasn't short, you know, you see a lot of cases where that those teams go 15-5 late in the year and then they think that's going to be it. That's really a bad metric, but this was a 29-6 to close the year. So I mean, it was 35 games, and if you want to, you can date it back a little further and take it to half the season. And then, you know, they're pretty good. They were 36-18 when Rudy Gobert played. For those people that are out there that are numbers geeks, the one that jumps out to me more than any other is if you look at analytics and you do defensive and offensive rating, so the league average is 107 points for 100 possessions. The best defense in the league was like 101. In 38 of the 54 games that Rudy Gobert played, the Jazz defensive rating was 101 or lower.
Wow.
As a team, the Jazz defensive rating with Rudy Gobert on the floor for the season, sorry, I'm really geeking out here, but these are the reasons for the optimism, was 97.8.
Wow.
So the best way to describe that is that's a lot better than the Warriors are offensively. So the Jazz defense was every bit as good as the Warriors offense for the second half of the season.
With Gobert.
Is that legit? I mean, just actually the whole defense, Gobert was healthy. When Gobert's on the floor, he has a similar impact to every offensive player other than Steph Curry. Steph Curry's impact is superior because Steph Curry is way better than anyone else in the league, and people still haven't quite realized that.
Hmm.
I think I'm giving a really long answer because we've had 5 months to think about it. I personally am on an island on this one, but I believe Rudy Gobert is one of the 10 best players in the league.
Wow.
David, I really please go ahead. Continue.
Just because of that impact, right? If he was an offensive player who automatically made his team have an offensive rating that was 10 points better than league average, we'd have no problem calling him a 10th best player in the league.
Definitely. David, I really like the pick of Grayson Allen. Enjoyed him at Duke. And he's looked good. in the preseason? Is he someone who's going to be in the rotation immediately, or is there still kind of buried behind, you know, the plethora of wings that the Jazz have?
So I don't think he will be, actually. I mean, I think that might, right? Like, he might, I don't mean to be rude, but I would think he starts for you.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to be a jerk.
Yeah. No,
I mean, Yogi Ferrell's going to start, right?
We're still to be determined, but there's a good chance that could happen, yeah.
Okay, well, if Yogi Ferrell's going to start, then Grayson Allen would start for you. He won't. I don't think he'll play Met.
Wow.
Now, Alec Burks and Dante Exum both have to get better. Like, Alec Burks last year was, you know, very high usage and very inefficient. But let's see if he gets better at that. Dante Exum has to show that he's got a lot of skill. He's a pretty special player. You know, but he's probably at a similar kind of spot to De'Aaron Fox. Like, you got to figure out who you are and how you're going to use all these skills you have. So he's still at that point. And so Grayson will get some time. Grayson shot 55% from three in the preseason. He's really good. There's just not a lot of spots.
You know, last year, David, I said this about the Jazz when I had heard so much, you know, follow you on social media, watch your games, listen to your games, and see what everybody was saying about Mitchell, and hadn't seen him in person, had seen him on TV. But he's the one person that my opinion changed of more when I saw him in person than just about anybody I can remember. I was not ready for how explosive he was, how much of an incredible athlete he was. I saw all the stats, I saw all the things he did, but watching him in person, I was blown away. Now that we're to year two for him, and year one was sensational, where's he going? What kind of growth can we even see from him this season?
So what you're specifically talking about, by the way, and I think it's a unique skill, and it took me a while to figure out what it is, it's the wiggle. Mm. It's not just the explosiveness. We think of explosiveness, we think about going up, we think about the slam dunk contest, but it's the wiggle. It's the in and out kind of ability to go either direction that is, I think, what separates him. I think that's what you're speaking of, and tell me. And I mean, when you watch other players in the league, like, that's not something that a lot of guys have. Like, they, you know, they have the Euro step where they'll change direction, but not the same kind of wiggle side to side. And then that gives him this ability to get through these gaps. The area for him to improve are twofold. One, for players who had a usage rate of his level, I mean, he was our offense, so 28%, really big. He had one of the lowest free throw rates of anyone in the last 5 or 10 years. About 30 guys have had a usage rate of his level. No one's had a free throw rate as low as him. So he just did not go to the line. The other one is he really did not shoot the off-the-bounce three very well. His off-the-bounce three was down at about 29% on the off-the-bounce three. In fact, you know, players who shot worse, the 91 guards or wings who played as many minutes as Donovan, there were only 12 guys of the 91 who shot worse than he did on the above the break three. So that's an area where he's got to improve. And in the preseason, you guys went under back-to-back pick and rolls, and he just buried it from straight away. So, I mean, that group is Tim Hardaway Jr., Evan Turner, Tyler Ulis, De'Aaron Fox, Marcus Smart, Dennis Schroeder, Russell Westbrook, Lance Stephenson, like TJ Warren, Stanley Johnson. They're not good shooters. So there's a lot of room for him to improve in that regard.
David, I was going to ask you a question about Tony Bradley, but since Grayson Allen isn't going to be seeing much playing time, I doubt Tony will be either. Is there anyone that
you are like looking for the ACC love here?
Well, exactly. What I'm looking for, is there anyone, since they returned almost every player from last year, is there anyone that you see that could be a surprise contributor to this team that might be a piece that they weren't expecting to be helping them, you know, be as good as they are?
So the new piece is Dante, just in the sense, I think, what, he played 15 games last year? Is that mm-hmm. right? So that's the new piece, certainly, that you're hoping brings something that the team didn't have a year ago. I think the player that could be different is Ricky Rubio. Mm. And you're like, what are you talking about? Here is a stunning note, and this is more of a comment on the Minnesota Timberwolves than anything. This is the first time since Ricky Rubio's second year in his NBA career that he's come back to the same coach.
Oh, wow.
And the only other time that Ricky Rubio ever came back to the same coach, he's coming off an ACL. So Rubio has never played for the same coach in back-to-back years where he's had an off season by which he could prepare, which is just a stunning, stunning note. He has traditionally been a better second half player than a first half player. Is that because of the fact that he's been always dealing with this? And then you take the final 40 games of last year for the Jazz, and he shoots 40% from three, and he's really terrific. Like, if you go stop last season and start at a game 40 and take it the rest of the way home, he's far better than I think anyone realized. Is there a chance that that's who he is? And I don't really know. It would be a bit unusual for a player at Ricky Rubio's stage of his career to really have this kind of change, right? That doesn't really seem like something that you see very often. But with that said, there are some reasons maybe to believe it. Quinn Snyder and he have connected from January 1 of last year. He shot 44% from the field, 41% from three, 86% from the free throw line. And he averaged 15 points, 5 rebounds, and 6 assists with 2 steals. Now, he does that, Utah's going to be knocking on the number 2 seed in the Western Conference.
Well, that kind of leads me right where I wanted to ask. We're talking with David Locke, radio voice of the Jazz. You know it. The West is stacked. It could have – that 3 through 10, basically, or 3 through 9 last year could have shuffled any which way. Where do you have the Jazz in this talented Western Conference landing this year?
I run numbers on this and try to keep emotions out of it, and the numbers have the Jazz at second and the Rockets at third, but that seems ridiculous. So my emotions tell me that there's just no way a 60-win team is falling that far, even though just to kind of put it in perspective, and this depends whether he's this bad again. But so Carmelo was so bad last year in Oklahoma City that my system replicates his performance again, because he's certainly not getting younger, right? So there's no reason to think he's getting better. The impact of losing Trevor Ariza, Luke Bamute, and adding Carmelo Anthony to the offense of the Houston Rockets is almost identical to the impact of adding LeBron James to the Lakers. That's how bad Carmelo was last year. Hmm. But in a negative way, obviously,
right?
In a positive.
Yeah.
I love my numbers. That's obvious just listening to me. I think that's overstated. But if the Jazz have Rudy Gobert for 82 games, and if we go back to the full circle where we started this conversation, if in fact their defensive rating is really going to be under 101 on most nights, then they're really good. Like, they're crazy good if they're this good defensively. Then they're back in that kind of old Detroit Piston mold of like, well, actually the team that kind of reminds me a little bit is that old Orlando Magic team with Dwight Howard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was always 1 or 2 defensively and kind of just about top 10 offensively. Let me give you 2 other quick thoughts, and then you can have more. But the other one is if they really are going to change the rules. So last year, every single time the Jazz played someone, they ran pick and roll. If they switched, they just grabbed Gobert. Like, literally, P.J. Tucker, in an article in the Houston Chronicle last week, said, our defense was blank, 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 and grab them. And we had to make that adjustment between games 2 and 3 of the Western Conference playoffs against the Jazz. Like, he literally said it. And they literally just grabbed Gobert. So you would switch, and then because you're switching, Gobert's below you. So if you can't grab him, he just rolls to the rim for a dunk, right? And you just lob it up to the rim, and everybody would just grab him. Well, if they're really going to call that, Rudy Gobert could become a different player in the sense, and Willie Cauley-Stein could too, frankly, rolling to the basket to get buckets.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one thing. Was it Chuck? Is that right, Chuck?
Yes, sir.
You gasped when I threw out the idea that Gobert was a top 10 player.
I didn't.
I think maybe I did.
I think that was
me.
Okay. I'm with you.
Jason gasped.
Yeah.
Last year, in the second game the Jazz and the Kings played, the Kings did not attempt a shot in the restricted area until 4 minutes left in the second quarter when Rudy Gobert was on the floor.
Yeah, I think this matchup particularly for the Kings is as rough as it gets. Inexperienced young guys that play in the paint. Yeah, this is a tough one, David. And we saw what had happened in the preseason last week.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting doing my prep for you guys, though. I mean, I'm sure your Buddy. I mean, Buddy Hield really is one or two development pieces away from becoming pretty good. I mean, that 52% catch and shoot's really special. So that if he can develop a little bit off the bounce and improve rim finishing, and I'm not sure that he's athletic enough to ever be a really good rim finisher, but if you can kind of just figure it out so that if they're, you know, if they're overplaying, he can tight curl. And then I thought the other one was interesting. You're 30th in the league last year in pick and roll play, which isn't good because there's 30 teams. But if you dug into it a little bit, when Willie Cauley-Stein's involved, it's not that terrible. Like when De'Aaron Fox and Willie Cauley-Stein are in a pick and roll, the offensive rating's a 0.9, which isn't great, but it's not terrible for the half court. So I think there's a few pieces there that are happening. And obviously, you know, whether they can develop that with Marvin Bagley, and it takes some time, but there's a few little things going on that I think are positive on your end.
David, I think we all agree with you, and I think we're all pretty high on Utah, but what is something that could happen that would, I don't know, keep them from reaching this potential that we all see after last year?
Well, I mean, the obvious is the cop-out, which is injuries, right? I mean, we saw that last year with Rudy, but that's no different than, you know, I had San Antonio fifth in the West, and, you know, then you lose DeJounte Murray for the season, and Derek White, who I love, is, you know, out. Like, at some point, you just lose to me. Guys like Oklahoma City, frankly, if San Antonio didn't have a bunch of injuries, and who knows when Russ is back, like, Oklahoma City to me is Russ missing 15, 20 games away from having a hard time making the playoffs in the West. So I think, you know, injuries is the first thing. The second would be if there's in some way that the defense at the end of last year was not real. I keep saying that. I don't actually have any idea what that would be. And when you consider the fact that their defense has been in the top three for 3 years in a row, it seems, or two and a half, 2 years, or maybe 2 or 3 years in a row, it seems unlikely. And then I guess if they just don't make enough shots, right? Like, I mean, that sounds so stupid, but it's not a great offensive team after Donovan's done, and he wasn't particularly efficient, as we talked about, as a rookie. Then what? You know, then who's your next shooter? Now, again, I don't mean to be the homer optimist, and I try to bank it all in numbers, but so if Donovan stagnates, that's unusual for a player in their second year to stagnate. You know, if De'Aaron Fox doesn't make more shots this year, that would be unusual. So I do kind of think that if Donovan gets a little bit better, just a little bit, right, that 29% off-the-bounce three-point shooting becomes 33, 34, you've got to start to guard him differently, and then that opens up a great deal for a lot of other players. And the Jazz are a pretty good catch-and-shoot team on the threes. Now, if that doesn't happen, then they're lacking some offensive prowess, because your third-best offensive player is probably Ricky Rubio, and your second-best is probably Joe Ingles. Actually, your second-best is Rudy Gobert, but that's a totally different tirade about the fact that Willie Cauley-Stein, if he could control him, if he could get himself a self-understanding of what he's good at and what he's not, and Rudy Gobert and Clint Capella, those three are actually really, really, really good offensive players.
Yep.
And people don't think about them as offensive players because all they do is dunk.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good comp. Well, David, thank you for the time. We really appreciate it. We look forward to seeing you out at the arena tonight, and good luck on the season.
Well, hopefully I'll get to talk to you more than last time. That was a little disappointing. I mean, only thing, you know, your start of the game was as disappointing as I was to not get to talk to you last time.
Well, we'll make that happen tonight. That's for sure. Thank you, David. That's David Law. Yeah, that was rough. We can't have a repeat of the last game, but I'm still noodling that Grayson Allen would start for the Kings. The Kings don't have this great answer at small forward, but also, you know, Bogey's out.
Yeah.
Right? Bogey and Buddy. I think that may end up being some sort of starting group, but yeah, they're deeper. They're further along than the Kings, but I don't think Grayson Allen starts.
I get what he was saying. I don't think Grayson Allen starts either, but Grayson Allen is a good player.
Yeah,
but that's not
playing for them.
Exactly.
Interesting.
That's the point I think he was trying to make. But as far as give me Buddy right now.
Yeah. I have high hopes for
right
Buddy.
Now.
Yeah.
You know, but Bogey's hurt. I get it. I understand. But yeah, and I like Grayson Allen. I think he's going to be a good player for them, regardless of how many fights he starts or whatever. I think he'll be a solid player, especially since David mentioned their offense. Offensively, it's, you know, Donovan Mitchell and then, I don't know, Rubio and Gobert.
Yeah,
and
different guys. Each night, Ingles. I mean, they have different people that can do it.
But also just not dynamically.
Right.
Not dynamic scorers. And I think Grayson Allen can maybe take some of that load, if not this year, next year.
Yeah, and I think that's the other part that they are so good at is defense, right? That's their calling card.
Yeah.
And so they can win games just by that. Like tonight, it's going to be difficult for the Kings to score. Maybe if the Jazz have an off shooting night, it's a closer game.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're the kind of team that, oh, you're down 12. That's over. Mm-hmm. Like, for the Kings, it would be, not other teams. But that's going to kind of lead us into some more of our questions. We're going to do Kings questions throughout the day here. So we'll start there. We're talking about this team's scoring. And this one's out to you guys as well on the text line or on the phone lines at 339-1140 as we get ready for the home and season opener tonight. First question on the Kings list is, who will lead the Kings in scoring in 2018-2019? So this year, and I think my opinion on this, Charles, is we're going to see a lot of different people be the leading scorer on a nightly basis, but someone at the end of the year has to be the leading scorer of this team.
Yeah.
What's your reaction to that? What do you think?
That is tough because I go, oh, well, it's going to be Buddy. Well, De'Aaron could take that step.
Mm-hmm.
Is Willie Cauley-Stein and De'Aaron, do they have a great connection to where Willie's putting up, 15, 16 a game? Because it'd be nice if someone can get 20 a game, that's going to be the leading scorer. I don't know if anyone can.
I don't think that's happening this
year.
I don't think so either.
So I think somewhere around 16, 17 will probably lead this team. I don't know. A definitive answer? Let me think on that one.
Okay.
And I'll make us a serious pick, but right now it's up in the air.
Yeah. Well, hang on to that. I'll give you mine. Right. I think
Justin Jackson.
Yes. I'm going there.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Buddy. I think it will be Buddy Hield. I think he's going to be around that 17 range. But I'm a little bit nervous because I think he might be coming off the bench for the majority of the season. Might be. I don't know exactly how Dave Yeager is going to do this. I think Bagley's going to get minutes. I think Giles is going to get minutes. Fox, I think, could do some really nice things. That's a difficult position to play as well. But I think if I had to pick one guy, I think it would be Buddy Hield.
That's kind of what I'm leaning towards also, especially because of the three-point proficiency.
Mm-hmm.
But that's interesting. You kind of answered it. But so you think he'll remain coming off the bench when Bogey's back?
I think so. I know the game. I know it was Maccabi Haifa, but that was one of my favorite games of his in the preseason.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter who they were playing, but it was the way he played, the amount of minutes, and the production he still gave him off the bench.
Yeah.
He had started other preseason games and played more minutes and wasn't as good as he was on that night. I think he was 9 of 10. He made everything. And I went, well, he led the team, and he did it in like 18 to 22 minutes. I think he should play a little more than that. But I think it's going to be hard to have a even when the team was bad for years, DeMarcus, easy leading scorer. Kevin Martin, other guys like that would get 20-plus. Marcus Thornton even would be up there. Tyreek. I don't know who's consistently going to be the leading scorer of this team.
I think part of it is they have so many young guys, they're waiting for someone to become that DeMarcus, Tyreek, whatever, who says, I'm getting 17, 18 a game, deal with it. I'm kind of with you on Buddy to the point that I think he should be coming off the bench. That doesn't mean his minutes should be restricted, but for whatever reason, and it's one of these weird things in sports, he seems to thrive coming off the bench as opposed to starting. I don't know why. Maybe he just feels like he knows his role coming off the bench compared to starting, whatever it is. But I think he's better coming off the bench. And you can still give him 30-plus minutes a game.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean coming off the bench, he's only playing 15.
And he could be the closer, too.
Exactly.
Kevin from Arkansas says leading scorer will be Buddy. We got another one here. Fox will be a 20-point scorer. Well, that would be terrific.
That would be fantastic.
Gets that number. It's 125. Time to visit MadeAChevy.com and see who's made a great deal at Meta. Much more NBA, many more Kings discussions and questions coming your way. Sam Amick joins us at 205. Again, thanks to David Locke and the G-Man who have already joined us. Kings and Jazz season opener is coming up. More of all of that coming up here on KHDK. Hey, all guests are coming to you via the Fire Wings Hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. Our next guest will be
just
Sam Amick.
Wing it.
At 205.
What, I feel like, is this in every ski lodge movie?
Could be.
You know what I mean?
They've redid this. This song has been redone for, it's either a detergent or a fabric softener. They're singing about a guy's shirt being wrinkled.
Yeah. What's the name of the band, Chris?
Outfield, right?
Yes, sir.
It was like the trendy pick of baseball players to be like funny for using it as their walk-up song. A lot of players use it now.
What's your walk-up song? What would be your walk-up song?
I think, I don't know if we talked about this before, but I would do something to piss people off. So it'd be like Fancy by Iggy Azalea or Fantasy by Mariah Carey or like
Party in the USA, Miley Cyrus.
Party in the USA by Miley Cyrus, done.
Yeah,
that's number one. Fancy Two, Fantasy Three.
In your fourth at bat?
Fourth at bat would have to go, I don't know, maybe PM Dawn. I'd Die Without You.
Yeah.
But that's like actually a really good song.
It is.
So, but yeah, stuff to make people mad. But in a serious way, I don't know, something maybe Hypnotize.
That's mine.
It's a great song.
That's mine right there.
Ice Ice Baby.
That okay.
That's one. I loved it when Josh Reddick did Careless Whisper.
Yeah. That was the thing.
It should continue.
Yeah.
I would use
it. I don't
know
what he uses now.
I don't know. Probably some wrestler theme or something.
An idiot, huh?
Yeah, pretty lame.
Yeah. You said it.
Right.
Yeah.
I know. He used to do that. He used to switch them up.
Yeah, he did. That's what I would do. I'd make it different all the time.
Yeah.
Back here on The Lowdown, again, coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to visit, or in about 30 minutes, we're going to visit with Sam Amick tonight. It is the Kings and the Jazz, the start of the season. And we're asking you some Kings and NBA-related questions as well. You know how funny this is to me, though, Charles? I was looking up starting lineups for the Sacramento Kings because I still don't know. I know David was just telling us he thinks Yogi Ferrell will start, and he might. I don't know what Dave Yeager's ultimate lineup will be. And obviously with Bogey being out till probably November, we'll see what the final starting lineup will be. But we talk about how often the league turns over and how much it changes, and 5 years ago to me isn't that long. Care to take a guess who the Kings' starting lineup was? Opening night, 2013-2014, just 5 seasons ago.
DeMarcus Cousins.
That's one.
Tyreke Evans.
Nope.
Was he coming off the bench? Was he not here anymore?
He wasn't even here.
DeMarcus.
At least on opening night, unless he was hurt. I don't think he was on the scene.
They didn't start Jason Thompson with him, did they?
Not at this time.
What's funny is those are the first two names I said.
Yeah.
Jason asked me today.
Was Thornton?
Yes.
Thornton.
DeMarcus Cousins and Marcus Thornton. Two of the other guys are no longer in the league.
Oh.
And the other one played last night.
Played last night.
Against your squad.
Okay. Okay. Did he actually play?
Yeah. I think he started.
I have no idea.
Patrick Patterson.
Yeah. Oh!
So DeMarcus.
Forgot about him ever being a King.
Patrick Patterson. Marcus Thornton, the great two-time King John Salmons, and Gravis Vasquez.
My God.
5 years ago.
Yeah.
So Cousins has been on two teams since.
Yeah.
Vasquez out of the league. Thornton, I don't think, is in the league.
I don't think so either. I think he... Yeah.
And he's bounced a ton of teams since. Yeah. Salmons is not. And then Patterson's been on a couple teams
three
since.
Teams,
two to three
I think?
Since.
Yeah, he was definitely... Yeah, he... So, he's interesting. I don't know. People really liked him for the Thunder last year when they signed him, and he hasn't really quite worked out yet. But
yeah.
You know.
So that's 5 years ago. Three years ago? Give it a shot. Opening day, starting lineup. Just
Boogie.
Three. Yep. Isn't it? I mean, it's amazing. It's just 3 years ago.
Boogie. Thompson was gone at this point, I think.
I think so. I think he was a Warrior or a Raptor or whatever he was.
Oh, man. When the Warriors traded for him, I thought it was... Gave nothing up to get him. Like, come on. That's
brilliant.
Huge. Didn't work out. I'm not going to get any of them.
Rudy Gay.
Yeah, okay. I should have gotten that.
Rondo.
That was the Rondo year.
And two guys that are on the Kings now. Costa,
clearly.
And Ben McLemore.
Oh, my God. That one caught me off guard, man. I was like, was Garrett Temple still? No, it was Ben. He just left and came back.
And then just last year. Care to take a guess at the opening day starting lineup last season?
Opening day starting lineup.
Against the Rockets.
Did Vince start?
He did not.
Okay, so Garrett?
Nope.
Gee, dude, I don't know. Bud? No. De'Aaron?
Nope.
You
just said one, I think.
You were Buddy? Starting. Buddy started?
Buddy started.
Yeah, because he wasn't on the bench yet.
You're forgetting their free agent point guard they added for a lot of money that's no longer on the team.
Oh, my guy. George Hill. Yeah,
George Hill.
Who else? Is Randolph started?
Nope.
He was coming off the bench.
Well, he was suspended for one game.
Oh, okay. Willie, obviously.
Willie, yep.
Randolph suspended, so then Scal?
Yep.
Willie, Scal.
And then you're missing small forward.
George Hill. Did Justin Jackson start?
He did, actually,
Goodness
the
gracious.
First game.
His road, look.
Listen.
I understand you got to figure out what works and what doesn't, but good God, man, a little consistency in the rotation would be, or at least in the starting lineup, would be nice. But that's kind of for this game we're playing here.
Yeah. And it's just how much it does turn over from, you know, when people are in. I'm excited about what this young group could be of. Whatever we put the young group on, you know, is Scal and Buddy and Bagley and Giles and Bogey and Fox and all that. But the reality is, like, how just in 2 to 3 years, how many of them will still be around?
It's a good question.
You know, I mean, if you just look at this, you would think, you know, Cousins was a good example. They drafted him. He was an all-star. You would think he'd be here a long time. He wasn't. They opted to go a different direction. But it turns over fast in the NBA. It really
does. Best case scenario, 4 of them are still here.
Yeah, that means you obviously like them, and I think something's developed. Somebody's becoming something.
Best case is 5, actually, okay. Because you hope Bogey, Buddy, De'Aaron, Giles, and Bagley.
Well, and that's going to lead into my next question for everybody out there. King's question as we start opening night tonight. 3 years from now, so we just did the exercise 3 years ago, the starting lineup opening day, but 3 years from now, who will be the best Sacramento King? Now, you could say it's someone that's not on the roster, mm-hmm. which I don't know who that person is, but I'm going off the mind of the roster now.
Yeah.
3 years from now, who's the best player from this team?
You want me to
yeah.
give it to you?
If you're ready.
I'll go with De'Aaron.
Okay.
Because also something that kind of worries me as we talk about the turnover, with that Bogey deal, he signed 3 years for good money, you know, coming over from Europe. But he's up after next year.
Yeah, and I don't know if he'll ever be – do you feel like I like Bogey a lot. Is he a high-ceiling guy to you?
I just
like kind of the glue guys we were talking before, I feel like that's what he is. Very important.
Yeah.
Good player, doesn't make mistakes, but I don't know that I see an all-star there.
I do think that De'Aaron has the higher ceiling,
mm-hmm.
but I also do appreciate the quote-unquote glue guys, but also guys that just can do everything. You know, he's solid in every aspect, where De'Aaron, the main hope is that he's a proficient, high-level scorer.
Yeah.
Fine defensively, that's great, but as far as scoring, maybe creating a little bit as well. But Bogey, a guy who can you can play at the 1, 2 potentially, and we're going to see the 3, I think, this year.
Yeah.
I just don't know. Just as far as this exercise goes, I don't know if he'll be here in 3 years. I hope so, because I do think he's a good player. Would be a nice piece to keep. But he does have a contract that comes up after next year. I'll go with De'Aaron, because I also think Buddy, who I think is really good, but I also think he has a niche. Nietzsche.
That's it.
That will be shooting.
Yeah.
And he could be really
good
at that.
That's a great
skill. It's a great skill.
Yeah, I think he's elite at that.
Exactly.
Close to elite.
No, I'm with you. And yeah. I think he'll be a piece that you also want to keep. But as far as the best, I think De'Aaron.
Interesting that there's been no mention, and I don't think I mentioned him, but either of the rookies,
yeah.
Bagley or Giles. And I like them both a lot. I really do. But I feel like I need to see more.
Well,
so I see potential. I really do. I think Bagley is going to be good. And I think Giles has a chance to be really well-rounded, like a complete player, but that's a chance, right? I'm not telling you today, oh, can't miss, they're studs, they're going to be brilliant, they're going to be all-stars in the future. But if you told me that did happen, I don't think I would be shocked, but I don't know how those two shake out separately.
Well, and that's the other thing, for the sake of this argument, question, whatever, we haven't seen either of them actually play an NBA game yet.
Yeah.
So it's hard to go all in on either of them.
Yeah, and almost as a cautionary tale, I think about, you were talking about Phoenix earlier, this year as a surprise team. I remember mm-hmm. a couple years ago when they had Bender and Chris in the same draft.
Yeah.
And the thought was, oh man, look at what they'll have
yeah.
in the future. Well, one's already off the team, and I don't think anybody thinks anything of Bender.
I was surprised he's on the roster.
Yeah. Whereas Booker, that's the one that developed.
Mm-hmm.
And so these other two guys were picked higher, and
yeah.
one was 4, one was 8.
Yeah.
Two high lottery picks, let's, you know, and sometimes they both could have worked. It mm-hmm. didn't, at least for them.
Yeah.
So as excited as I am for a lot of these young pieces, maybe one becomes the greatest player in the league. That's fantastic. Maybe none of them do. But it'd be great if you had 2 or 3 that were really good players.
No question. And we talk about De'Aaron. I talk about De'Aaron because I think he has the most talent and the highest ceiling, et cetera. But I think the most important is that someone takes that big step,
mm-hmm.
that someone becomes that 20-point or at least close to 20-point
score. Has to happen.
Whether it's De'Aaron, Buddy, I mean, Justin Jackson, throw in whoever, any of these young guys. We pick De'Aaron because we see a lot in him and things like that. But if it becomes someone else, that's fine. It's just the most important part is that it happens for someone.
Yeah, it needs to happen. It needs to happen soon, hopefully for the Kings. And their first test is tonight. We'll talk more about that. It is 1:42. Time to visit MadeAChevy.com and see who's made a great deal at Made. Again, coming up at 2 o'clock, Sam Amick will join us. Charles and I are back with more of the Lowdown after this on KHDK.
Come on, baby. Come on over.
should probably just sing this whole segment.
Just to be the next to be with you.
Oh, good stuff, good stuff.
I feel like that was in every single straight-to-DVD American Pie movie.
Yeah.
Not the one through
How
four.
How many did they make?
No, 10, you're thinking, like, that's got to be like Sum 41's gig for like 4 years.
Yeah, that's a good point. Who did that song, Chris? What's the name?
It's Mr. Big.
Mr. Big.
Solid.
Yeah.
Solid. What was the one? Paper Helmet. That's the one Paper I came Helmet. Up with. Hit me up with your band names.
Yes.
441140, man. As you
Charles
can see, important stuff here.
Yes. We asked the question, who will be the best player on the Kings in 3 years, or best player from this group in 3 years? Texter Cody from the 209 says it will be Giles. He seems to have the motor to be the best player. He's an awesome guy. That counts for something there, but it's, as far as the player on the court, there's a lot of potential. Again, I think that's a good thing and a bad thing. It's dangerous to just assume good things, but I think it comes down to some good fortune, staying healthy, work ethic. I think he seems to have that. I think he's got a lot of potential. And at one point, Charles, I mean, he was considered the best player for his age group in high school, but you know, two injuries slow you down a little bit, and he's catching up, but I like a lot of what he can provide.
No question. And for the sake of the question, like we said, it's just we haven't seen him or Bagley play.
Yeah.
It could easily be either one of them, but I've just seen things from De'Aaron Fox in the NBA where I literally haven't seen Bagley or Giles play a single second of NBA basketball.
Yeah.
But I personally am a little higher on Giles than Bagley.
Okay.
I just think at this moment.
Yeah.
He's a little more well-rounded. Bagley's got some work to do, but he's 19. He can obviously get better and work on certain things. But I like Giles a lot also. I hope they are the group or part of the group that I hope are still here in 3 years.
Yeah. Another question from our NBA list of questions for today on opening day. NBA Rookie of the Year. I do think it's a good class. I think there's really good talented players.
That's tough. I'll go with DeAndre Ayton because I do think he's going to be a walking 18-10 guy. Mm-hmm. And Rookie of the Year really is about numbers. It's really, hey, who scored the most points and had the most stats? Trae Young could if he, you know, let's say he shoots not great, you know, 38, 39%, whatever.
That's the guy I'm watching.
But, you know, shoots 1,000 threes.
He's going to play a lot.
Yeah.
I think he'll put up some numbers. I think Doncic will do well.
I think also the thing with Trae Young, what's underrated is his passing. So he'll mm-hmm. also put up good assist
yes.
numbers. So he's kind of the guy I'm looking at also. I'll go Ayton just because okay. I'm, you know, a Phoenix Suns super fan.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I think it's a good class. What does Jaren Jackson do? Like, I don't
right.
know. He could.
Bamba.
Yeah. Bamba. I like Bamba a lot. I mean, man. And then obviously Bagley and then Dark Horse, Harry Giles, we'll see. It's just there's a lot of talent in this class.
Yeah, last year was rare in the fact that between Simmons and Mitchell that you had two dynamic rookies that were on really good teams.
Yes.
And then you go, okay, well, not only are they good, maybe the best player on Knights on their team, but they're winning a ton. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Usually it's, all right, Ayton, you won 25 games, but you were 18-12. You're a rookie of the year.
Yeah,
Trae
exactly.
Young, you won 20 games, and you know there's your 17-8 assists.
I like, and rookie of the year is – I don't know. It's a nice thing for that rookie year, but it doesn't really mean much for the future of that player.
Right. There's no promise going forward. I mean, we here, Kings fans should know, it was an incredible rookie year from Tyreke Evans. Good race with Steph Curry. Tyreke won it. We know who the better player is now. And Tyreke's had a nice career, I think, but Steph's
it's
a
definitely
Hall of Famer.
Like a bar trivia answer.
Right.
Like who won the rookie of the year that year.
Yeah. And if you're not here, where we all knew it,
you
know, I think a lot of people, probably Steph, right?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But And the funny thing about that is where their injuries were on their career, like, oh, Steph's ankles. And I forget when it switched. It wasn't that long. It might have been even into year two, but Tyreke had missed more games than Steph Curry.
Yep.
And nobody really thought that it was even happening.
Yeah.
But.
So if you had to pick one, who's your rookie of the year?
I think I'm going to go Trae Young.
Trae Young.
Yeah, I've been watching Doncic too. I think eight. I think we've got all the candidates.
Yeah.
I don't know that. I mean, I like Bagley and Giles. I don't know. I think they're going to split up a lot of minutes.
Uh-huh.
Like, I really think Trae Young's play and Ayton's playing, and they're not going to play Chandler ahead of it. He's going to play his minutes.
Yeah.
And I think Bagley, Giles, Scal, Willie, maybe Coast to something like they're going to get minutes, but less.
And then the thing with Trae Young, he's going to have the ball in his hands.
Yes, he
you know,
controls
gonna,
a lot of
yeah,
that.
Exactly. Where Bagley and Giles, it's not exactly up to them, you know, when they get their touches.
I feel like Giles will have a more complete stat line than all five, like if you go points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks. Bagley will have points and rebounds.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But I think other guys will have higher numbers than them.
Definitely. Is there a a dark horse, someone outside of the top 10, maybe? Top 10 draft picks, I mean.
I'm not thinking of anyone right now. I mean, there were other guys last year, like John Collins had a good year from Atlanta. Yeah. Mitchell, we already mentioned, but it's difficult outside the top 10, but not impossible.
Well, you mentioned guys that came in and were on good teams last year. Mm-hmm. Maybe, who is it, Gilgeous Alexander? Is he on the Clippers, right? Mm-hmm. He might, but I mean, probably not.
Yeah. NBA champ.
Golden State Warriors.
Yeah. I should word it this way, because I think most people pick the champ. Who's the final four?
Final four? I'm going to go Warriors. Celtics, Raptors. I'll go that. Or you know what? Let me tell you something.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Let me tell you something.
I heard something earlier from
Celtics, Pacers.
Yeah, that wasn't adding up.
Now it's going to be Celtics, Pacers. No, Raptors, Pacers. No, you know what? It's going to be Pacers, Orlando.
No, it's not.
Pacers, Celtics, most likely.
Yeah.
I also, and then Western, I mean, it's hard for me to, I like Utah. I like, you know, OKC. I know Damian, I hope Damian doesn't hear me say that. Mm. But I think it'll be, it's hard for me to not pick the Rockets. I think the Rockets did get worse, but I still think they're above most of the other teams in the West.
Yeah.
So I'll go Warriors, Rockets, Pacers, Celtics.
Of the, let me see if I can, I'm trying to figure out who the eighth team was last year. Of the eight in the West, who's left out this year? Warriors, Rockets, OKC, Portland, New Orleans, Utah, Minnesota. I'm missing a team. But who's left out?
Definitely.
And who goes in?
Minnesota. Minnesota's out for sure. New Orleans, I wouldn't be surprised. Here's a one that might be Portland.
I don't have them making it this year.
I wouldn't be surprised if they don't.
Because I have Denver and the Lakers in.
Yeah, I could see that. That's tough. I mean, Minnesota out for sure. Denver in for sure. You got Lakers in. I think they will. I also think it would be kind of funny if they didn't.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. That's good. Yeah, I'll say Minnesota's out, Portland's out, Pelicans stay in, and then, yeah, Lakers and Denver in.
All right, another Kings-related.
With the Phoenix Suns this close.
I can't believe that.
With the Phoenix Suns that close, Jason.
Which this one might affect that question because I kind of had them in my mind, but how many teams will the Kings be better than in the West, if any?
Probably none.
None? You know the one team I'm not as high on? Not that people are high on them. I got to be careful. I don't know that. I don't love Dallas's talent overall. Like, Jordan's a good addition.
I agree with you.
Dirk's not the same player.
No.
Dennis Smith Jr., I think people like think fantastically of. I think he's okay.
Harrison Barnes is on the level of like Chandler Parsons to me. Got a nice player who got a max contract.
Wesley Matthews.
They really need to get, yeah.
They have a good coach, but I mean, they won less games than the Kings last year. Now they've added Jordan and Doncic, but I'm like, it's not an amazing roster.
Yeah. Look, the Kings could be better than some teams, but it's going to take, like we said, someone to become that star might be strong, but an ascending on that trajectory to becoming a star, I guess.
All right, we're going to ask these questions and more to Sam Amick of The Athletic. He joins us for his weekly segment, talking all things NBA. And I also want to remind you, coming up at 2:15, mark down that time and call at 2:15 for our last pair of downtown Chowdown tickets for today. You'll enjoy over 40 different food trucks and performances by ex-ambassadors Chris Jansen and Sheila E. You can get your tickets at khdk.com. All KHDK giveaways powered by RosevilleAutomall.com. Again, 2:15. You just we won't even remind you. Just call up at that time and you'll win your tickets to downtown Chowdown. Sam Amick joins us next here on The Lowdown.